high school football. I played high school football. And having gone to quite a few high school football games, and even since the boys were young, we'd go to a lot of high school. We followed the local high school team and teams very closely. And we kind of looked at it. It was basically like family night. We had a lot of family nights, but that was kind of like we would have a lot of fun going to different schools, you know, and look at different football stadiums and all that when the high school team would play these other teams. And how many of you like football? A little bit? Okay. Well, here, now, having said that, you know, there's a cheer that almost every school does. They spell something out. And then they spell it out, give me a, then that, what's that spell? Say it again one more time. So we're going to do that, okay? But it's not in support of a school, okay? Are you ready? Is everybody alive, awake? You don't seem too awake tonight. You seem kind of tired, I understand. But give me an R.
R.
Give me an E.
E.
Give me a V. Give me an
I.
Give me a V.
V.
Give me an A.
A.
Give me an L.
L.
What's that spell?
Revival.
Say it again.
Revival.
One more time.
Revival.
Now, let me ask you this. Do you really want revival?
Amen.
Do you really want revival? Well, let me tell you, it's a lot more complicated than a cheer. And it's a whole lot more than a pep rally. It involves more than a cheer, more than a pep rally. And we have what we call a series of meetings coming up starting Sunday. We call it a revival. Now, there's nothing wrong with that title, right? But it's just a series of meetings, just like that's a cheer. It's kind of like a pep rally if God doesn't work in our hearts and lives and send us revival in our hearts and lives. You know, I don't know if you're familiar with this or not. Are you familiar with priming the pump? Priming the pump. Now, how many of you, I didn't have a hand pump growing up. But how many of you remember messing? I know sometimes on farms you still have a hand pump somewhere. I know there's one across the creek there at Joe's. How many of you remember the old hand pumps? And then from what I understand, to get the air out, you had to have water to put in that pump to prime the pump so that water would come out, right? My recollection of priming the pump is more like having a well at your house, and there's a little electric pump, and in order for that pump to pump water, it wasn't a submersible pump, it was above ground pump. And sometimes I remember watching, at least, more watching than doing. They had to take this little cover off. They had to put water down in this one certain part of the pump, put the cover back on, and it hopefully would get the water pumping whenever it stopped pumping for whatever reason. Now, tonight, the title of the message, we deviated tonight from the God's treasure chest of promises, although I do appreciate whoever put the table up for me. Title of the message is Revival Meetings or True Revival. Revival Meetings or True Revival, subtitled Priming the Pump. Priming the Pump. So tonight we're going to be looking at this area of revival. And we'll make it very clear throughout this that true revival is a sovereign act of God. It is a sovereign act of God. And we can't cheer it up. We can't motivate it up. We can't psych ourselves up enough to get revived. It's a sovereign act of God. But you know what? One thing we can do, we can prevent revival from coming to our hearts and even to our group of people, our church, if we're not doing what God wants us to do. Y'all agree with that? And although it is a sovereign act of God, we can also, in a sense, prime the pump and make sure that we're ready for revival. And that's really what most of what we're talking about tonight, priming that pump, revival meetings, or true revival. First of all, point number one, we are ultimately quickened or made alive at salvation. Quickened or made alive. And you'll see why I bring that up. Because we're going to be looking at that word in particular, but we are ultimately quickened or made alive or revived, what, at salvation. You say, where's that found? Well, if you want to turn in your Bibles Ephesians chapter 2, I have to turn there, so if you have your Bible and you want to turn there, you'll probably beat me. But in Ephesians chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 and 5. You see, we are ultimately quickened or made alive at salvation. Aren't you thankful for that? The Bible says that we are what? We become a new creature, right? I'm thankful for that. Whenever you're saved, you are changed. And ultimately, we're made alive when we are saved. But Ephesians 2:1, it says, "And you," as Paul wrote to the Ephesian church, "and you hath he quickened," or made alive, "who were dead in trespasses and sins." See, we were dead in our sins. We had no hope. There was no future for us. But because we were saved, because of what Jesus did and putting our faith and trust in that, we were quickened or made alive at salvation. Look at verse 5. "Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened," even when we were dead in sins, "hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved." You see, God has done that through Christ. He's made us alive. So we're not dead people. Now, I've known some people that seem awful almost dead, but we're not dead people. We should be people of life, really, because we've been made alive through the blood of Christ when we trusted Him as Savior, right? And therefore, as people of life and living people, we will live forever. So number one, we are ultimately quickened or made alive at salvation. But is the truth of the matter, sometimes we need a little bit to be revived? Yeah. Point number two, being quickened or revived is a common theme in Psalm 119. Now, are you familiar with Psalm 119? It's the longest psalm, longest chapter as far as I know in the Bible. I could be wrong on that, but I know it's the longest psalm. But in Psalm 119, it's interesting what goes down in Psalm 119. Go ahead and turn to Psalm 119 because you're going to need to stay there. We've got to cover a lot of ground out of Psalm 119. Now, in this psalm, there's 22 different sections, 22 different sections of 8 verses apiece. 8 verses apiece. And each section represents a different Hebrew letter of the alphabet. Because remember, the Old Testament, written primarily in Hebrew. So each section of 8 verses represents a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And each section that, say the first one here, the first section in particular is Aleph. That letter, that first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, if you look at the original Hebrew, every verse starts with that same letter. Make sense? Every verse in that section starts with the same Hebrew letter. Now, an interesting thing. See, I had Hebrew in seminary. I'm not sure how much I remember about everything. It was a good class. I had a great teacher. I mean, one of those guys, my teacher was like, he was brilliant. I mean, just simply, there's no other way to put it. He was just simply brilliant. And he put it down where we could understand it and everything. But Hebrew does not read from left to right. Hebrew reads from right to left. So the word, you'd pronounce it, if you're doing phonics, you'd pronounce it from the right to the left. But each one of these verses in each section started with that letter of the Hebrew alphabet, okay? And if you've read much of that chapter, you know that it's talking mainly about the Word of God. The Word of God, the value of the Word of God. And it describes it in many ways and says a lot of things that the Word of God, all of the uses of the Word of God, how it works in our hearts and lives. Now, I want to remind you that the Hebrew word for quicken, and this is kind of cool whenever God does this, because I've been reading through Psalm 119, and I was taking it slow. I was doing two sections a day. So I was taking it kind of slow. I was like, God, what do you have for me today? And obviously, every day, He'd say, this is what I want you to take out of this. This is what I want you to take with you today. And as I did that, I thought, boy, it's amazing how many times it uses the word quicken. And then I was preparing today. Wasn't quite sure what passage, but talking about revival and getting ready for revival. And it just hit me. Quicken. It means make alive. And so God used that, put it together, even in my little pea brain, put it together and said, hey, why don't you use that? So we're looking at the times that word quicken is used in the Word of God, or that same Hebrew word, which is sometimes translated alive or life, that word. Now, have you ever said a Hebrew word before? Well, tonight you're going to. Are you ready? The word is call y'all. It's almost like call y'all. I'll call y'all later. But I hadn't thought about that till just now. But it's call y'all. So say that word with me. Call y'all. One more time. Call y'all. That's the word that's translated quite often in Psalm 119 as quicken. Quicken. It's used 16 times in Psalm 119. And we're going to look at that and see what we can learn about being quickened or made alive, okay? So revival meetings or true revival is the question. Priming the pump, subtitle, point number one, we are ultimately quickened or made alive at salvation. I thank the Lord for that. Second, being quickened or revived is a common theme in Psalm 119. It's used 16 times, that word. Do you remember what that word was?
Call y'all.
That's it. Number three, so what can we learn about being revived out of Psalm 119? What can we learn about being revived? Now, I truly want to be revived. I do. You know, I've been a Christian over 50 years now. And I'm not saying that like, whoa, look at me. But I know a number of you have been saved a long time. And remember when you were first saved and the excitement and you wanted to tell everybody about it. And, you know, life was all just focused on that. Life is tough. Life is busy, and sometimes we get distracted. Sometimes we're like, oh, ho-hum, I guess I better go to church. I'd rather sit in my recliner and watch television, but hey, I guess I better. I mean, it kind of gets that way. I probably should read my Bible, but I'm awfully. Yeah, I need a spark. I need a revival. Now, I'm saved. I didn't lose my salvation, but sometimes you can lose the joy of your salvation, the spark of your salvation, the enthusiasm of your salvation. So what can we learn out of Psalm 119? Now, that word is used, I believe it was like 268 times in the Old Testament. So I had to focus on something. So I said, let's look at Psalm 119 because there's not as many. But it's used 16 times. What can we learn about being revived from this chapter in the Bible? Do y'all think the Word of God's inspired? Do you think the Word of God's powerful? Absolutely. First of all, point number one, underneath point number three, called A if you want to. So what can we learn about being revived from Psalm 119? A, under that, prayer is important to revival. Prayer is important to revival. And you know what you can do tonight? You can just take this and pretend like you're paying real close attention and just go home and say, pfft. Or you can say, you know what? I really need revival. And I'm telling you, I really need revival. And if you do, prayer is important to revival. You know, I mentioned that word, and that word is?
Call y'all.
That word is used 16 times, right? Of those 16 times, 12 out of those 16 times, the psalmist asks God to be quickened or revived. 12 out of the 16 times, the psalmist is calling out to God, saying, God, I really need to be quickened. I really need to be made alive. So if that be the case, don't you think we ought to do that? In verses, I'll just give them to you real quick. I want to jot them down. In verse 17, verse 25, verse 37, verse 40, verse 88, verse 107, verse 116, verse 149, verse 154, verse 156, verse 159, and verse 175. We're going to look at verse 40, all right? I want to prove it to you that at least look at one of them. We can't look at all of them tonight. But we'll look at Psalm 119, verse 40. Prayer is important to revival. 12 out of 16 times the psalmist asked God to be quickened or revived. Look at verse 40 of Psalm 119. It says, behold, I have longed after thy precepts. One thing you got to learn really quick, if you're reading Psalm 119, there's a lot of words used almost interchangeably for the Word of God. Precepts, judgments, commandments, His Word, and that's just scratching the surface. There's a number of, and when it says precepts, it's talking about the Word. Behold, I have longed after Your Word, quicken me in Thy righteousness. So there's one case that the psalmist is calling out to God, just like the song we sang a minute ago, right? Revive us again, right? Revive us. Calling out to God. If you want to be revived, why not ask God, the God who is all powerful, the God who wants to see you revived, the God who wants to bless your socks off? Why not go to Him in serious prayer and say, God, would you send me revival? So prayer is important to revival. How do you prime the pump? Prayer is one way. We're looking tonight. Revival meetings or true revival? Priming the pump. Number one, we are ultimately quickened or made alive at salvation. Second, being quickened or revived is a common theme in Psalm 119. Thirdly, so what can we learn about being revived from this Psalm, Psalm 119? The A underneath that, prayer is important to revival. Now, from what I understand about this revival, there's been some preachers that have been getting together and praying for revival. I think I've heard something of the magnitude of like for 20 years they've been getting together. Now, I've been praying for revival, but I've not been getting together with other preachers for 20 years. I've only been here going on 8. So, I mean, can you imagine how seriously they think revival should be taken in our hearts, in our lives, in our community, and in our churches? What about you? What about you? Have you been praying for revival? Now, I know we've been praying for revival in our church. We've been praying for revival in our country. We sincerely have. But what about specifically the meetings next week, starting Sunday, actually? Have you been praying that God shows up? Have you been praying that God just confronts us face to face? Have you been praying that maybe we have those burning bush experiences where God just penetrates our heart and gives us guidance and wisdom and direction? Have you been praying for an opportunity just to snuggle real close to God where you feel His presence in a huge way? I'd encourage you. We're not going to do anything official, but I'd encourage you between now and revival to even spend some time in prayer and fasting. Just skip a meal if you can. I know with medication, some of us, it's kind of hard to skip a meal because if you skip a meal, you know, it kind of messes up your medication. I get that. God gets that completely. But what about if prayer is one of those things that primes the pump, why don't you take intentionally say, you know what, I'm going to skip lunch today. And when my stomach growls, it's going to remind me that I want to pray for the revival. Now, one thing about fasting, it's not to show other people that you're fasting. God made that very clear to the Pharisees. And basically, you know, you're fasting, you appear to be weak, you want everybody to know and say, look how spiritual. It's simply going to God for one thing in particular. It's not really to say, okay, I want to be more spiritual, so I'm going to fast. That's not it at all. It's getting God's attention and saying, this is important to me. This is important enough that I'm going to skip a meal. And believe me, you can look at me and say, meals are pretty important to me. And when you skip a meal, it's like God, and then seriously, when your stomach growls or you feel that hunger a little bit, you know, just go to God and say, God, I'm just reminded that I'm coming to you on behalf of revival because I need revival in my heart. And I don't mean to limit you by saying just skip a meal. Maybe you want to skip two meals. Maybe you want to skip a meal for a day. That's between you and God. But get serious about it. Prayer is an important part to revival. Secondly, or B, under this point number three, so what can we learn about being revived from Psalm 119? The Word is crucial to revival. The Word, now we're talking about the Word of God, is crucial to revival. Out of those 16 times, 9 times in particular, being quickened or made alive is linked to the Word of God. Is linked to the Word of God. Let's look at a couple. That's verse 17, verse 25, verse 50, verse 93, verse 107, verse 116, 149, 154, and 156. That's specifically in those verses. And if you look around, there's even of course, in Psalm 119, it mainly focuses on the Word of God. There's other verses that are very close, so you could basically say almost all of them are linked to the Word of God. But these in particular mention it in the same verse. Look at verse 50 of Psalm 119. We're talking about what can we learn about being revived. How do we prime the pump? Prayer. Secondly, we're talking about the Word. Verse 50 says, "This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy Word hath quickened me." Huh. The Word of God can make us alive. The Word of God can quicken us. The Word of God can revive us. And you say, well, look at verse 93. Then I'll comment on that a little bit more. Look at Psalm 93. These are just a couple examples. Verse 93 says, "I will never forget thy precepts, for with them," that's thy precepts, your Word, "for with them thou hast quickened me." You have made me alive. You have revived me. Now, you say, how does the Word of God, how does this Word of God relate to revival? I come up with at least two ways. First of all, as a standard. Isn't this book what we're shooting for? I mean, doesn't it tell us, it's amazing what this book tells us. This book tells us really all that we need to know about life. All that we need to know about God, all that we need to know about that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. When we have decisions to make, it tells us all that we need. It gives us guidance and direction, right? It tells us not only how to be the husbands we need to be men, but it tells you wives how to be the wives that God wants you to be. It not only tells us what should be part of our life, it tells us what ought not be part of our life, right? So first of all, how can this Bible prime the pump for revival? Well, first of all, as a standard. You see, if I'm living my life contrary to what's in the standard of God's Word, God might send revival, but I wouldn't say we're priming the pump, would you? So what we really need to do, and hopefully we do this regularly and not just before revival, but we look at our life in light of God's Word and say, how am I stacking up with this? Now, it's not what the preacher thinks is not your standard. Or what the preacher thinks of what you're doing is not the standard. It's not what other people think of what you're doing. The standard is God, and God has recorded His standard in the Word of God, right? So if you and I want to prime the pump, we need to make sure that we are living up to the Word of God. So how does the Word of God prime the pump? As a standard. And secondly, as a spark. Can I tell you that the Word of God is going to be preached at this revival? You know, when Chase Williams comes and stands behind that pulpit, I guarantee you he's going to preach the Word of God. You know, and see, we these are conservative guys that believe in the Bible as the only Word of God, as the inerrant, infallible, inspired Word of God. And as they stand up there, I guarantee you they're not going to say, well, my opinion on this is, and bore us with their intellect. They're going to say, you know what, the Word of God. Turn in your Bibles, they'll say, and they'll look at a verse and they'll say, this is what they're going to preach the Word of God. And this Word of God is not, the Bible says the Word of God will not return unto me void, right? So the Word of God goes out in power, and the Word of God can change our hearts. The Word of God can convince us that we need to straighten up and fly right. The Word of God can call us to do certain things in life. The Word of God is powerful. It can spark. It not only is a standard, it's also a spark. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. If you want to turn there, if not, I'll find it. And I'll read it to you. Listen to this. Hebrews chapter 4 to the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. Notice what it says about the Word of God. Notice this. Hebrews 4 and verse 12. It says, "For the Word of God," this is the Bible right here, "the Word of God is quick." You know what that means? That means alive. It's alive. And if it's alive, even though we may feel dead sometimes in our walk with God, if it's alive, guess what? The Word of God can work on our hearts like nothing else can. It says, for the word of God is quick or alive and powerful. It's not wimpy, wimpy, wimpy. It's powerful, powerful, powerful. It can work on our hearts. And when we make the effort to go and hear these preachers during revival time, I tell you what, if we let the word of God work in our hearts and life, it can be more than just a bunch of revival meetings. It can be true revival in our hearts. Because we say, wow, God, because believe me, the God that we have, the all-powerful, sovereign, provident God that we have, when we show up, say Sunday morning, and when we show up to go over to Bible Baptist Temple on Sunday night, and when we go over to the revival there at the armory, guess what? It's not by accident. And God sees one of us showing up and says, oops, I never thought he'd be there. Or I'd have had a different message. No, God is such a big, powerful God that when we show up, we ought to say, you know what? This message is for me. This message is for me. And too many times we go to revival. Yeah, our country really needs revival. Mm-hmm. Yeah, old brother so-and-so over there, he really needs revival. Boy, our church really needs revival. But do you know who we need to go to revival meetings for? Us. And say, you know what? I really need revival. And if I have revival sparked here, it will affect my family. And if I encounter true revival from God, it will affect my church. And if I encounter true revival, it very well might affect my community. Do you see the difference? Too many times we go to revival meetings thinking everybody else needs it, but I really don't. I want to go to this revival meeting saying, God, I need it. I need it. You see, as a standard and as a spark. But I didn't finish the verse yet. For the word of God is quick. That means alive. And powerful. And sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints of marrow. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Believe me, if you're doing the right thing for the wrong reason, the word of God is so powerful, it can let you know that you're doing the right thing for the wrong reason. So straighten up and fly right. You know what? I would not give you a nickel for a preacher that didn't step on my toes. Seriously. Because the preacher, again, is hopefully not preaching his opinion. He's preaching the word of God. And when God allows that preacher to, so to speak, step on my toes and scuff my shoes all up, I'm like, thank you, Lord, you're still working on me. And it's the word of God that has the power. It's the word of God that can work on our hearts. It's beyond my comprehension. It really is how that happens. But believe me, the word of God says it's quick, it's alive, it's powerful, it's sharp. And when we go to the revival, we ought to be praying, Lord, let the word of God, let the word of God spark. Let the word of God spark revival. Let the word of God work on me. Let the word of God knock off those edges that need to be knocked off. You see, how can we prime the pump? So what can we learn about being revived from this chapter? That's point number three. A, prayer is important to revival. Second, or B, the word is crucial to revival. And C, an awareness of our need, our sinfulness, and our repentance are all big. That's a mouthful, isn't it? C, not only is prayer important, not only is the word of God important, thirdly, an awareness of our need, our sinfulness, and our own repentance are all big. An awareness of our need, our sinfulness, and our own repentance, they're all big if we want to prime the pump for revival. You see, we got Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 3 days before revival. Now, in those days, you know what you and I really need to do, especially we go before God in prayer? We say, God, is there anything in my life that's not right? Is there anything where I need to stay straighten up and fly right? Is there anything, you know, the Word of God talks about basically lay aside all the weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. I think it's in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. Maybe there's a weight. Now, not called a sin, it's called a weight. It's something that's distracting us from doing what God wants us to do. You know, in its proper perspective, it's not even wrong. But it's something that's keeping our eyes off of Jesus and focusing upon him. You know, look at, first of all, an awareness of our need, our sinfulness, and our own repentance are all big. Look at verse 25. Look at verse 25. Psalm 119. Yep. Psalm 119, verse 25. I don't know about you. I've clearly made it... I've clearly made it abundantly evident that I need revival. And the psalmist, in verse 25, I think he shows his need of revival too. He says, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. Notice he didn't say his body cleaved. He said, my soul. So to me, it almost sounds like he's talking on the spiritual level. It's like, you know, I'm about dead spiritually right now, he might be saying. You know, I'm about ready to eat dust. But then he says, quicken thou me. And I believe it's in the context of being spiritually, make me alive according to thy word. You see, we need to recognize sometimes, if that, you know, we get in the car, you know, sometimes we forget to look at the gas meter, the gas gauge, right? Like, yeah, how many of you forget? How many of you ever ran out of gas before? Maybe your gauge doesn't work sometimes, but sometimes we forget to look at the gauge. I'm saying to prime the pump, we need to look at the gauge, right? And say, do I really need revival? And I really think if we were honest, most of us would say, I absolutely need revival. Look at verse 35 to 37 in this same chapter. What's one of the things that's important to prime the pump? How can we see revival out of this chapter? An awareness of our need. I saw it there in verse 25. Our sinfulness and our repentance, our own repentance. They're all big. Notice Psalm 119, verse 35 to 37. It says, make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimony. Remember, commandments, testimonies, statutes, precepts, they're all speaking of the Word of God. It says, incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to what? Covetousness. The psalmist, I would say, he's at least hinting that he has a problem coveting things. And sometimes we have the same problem, right? But then notice the next verse. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity and quicken, make me alive, thou me in thy way. You know, the psalmist is admitting his own sinfulness. You know what I'm looking at right now? I'm looking at a bunch of sinners. So there. You know what you're looking at right now? An old rotten sinner. Saved by the grace of God. And the same as I look at you. But we're still sinners. And we'll have that sin nature. And the psalmist is saying, I need revival. Verse 25. He's saying, I am sinful. I struggle. And he's saying, guess what? I like that. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity. You know what he's saying? I'm over here looking this way and going this way with vanity, vain things that aren't eternal. Turn me around. And you know what? Turning around, going in one direction and going the other direction. You know, it's the idea of repentance. And if we want to have revival, sometimes we get hard hearts. And we say, God, I'll do 90% of your commandments, but that other 10%, forget it. I'm holding on to that. I once talked to someone. It was I was confronting them with something they were doing that was sinful, and it was family, so I guess that was okay. It wasn't the immediate family, but I was. And their response was, "That's the only sin I'm into right now, more or less. You know, basically, I got all the other ducks in a row, but I'm going to hold on to that because it's the only thing I'm really doing." I'm like, "Huh." And I'm convinced Christians are like that too. I mean, we're like that. We'll say, I'll follow you. I'll check. I'll do that. Check. I'll do that. Check. But I'm not going to do that. Nope. No way. That's a hard heart. That's a sinful nature. And you know what you and I need to do? Going this way, we need to turn around. And if we recognize that in the 3 days we got before revival, or the 7 days or so we have for revival, I guess probably 6 days, you know what? We can repent before God. Prime the pump for God to revive my heart. Now, I fully understand that God might get a hold of our hearts in certain areas and we repent whenever we hear the preacher up there behind the pulpit saying, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and you're like, okay, you're talking to me, aren't you? It's amazing to me. It's really almost hilarious how many people think I'm preaching to them, to them individually. I mean, I've had people in the back of the church, at different churches I pastor, when I shake them, was you preaching to me? And I'm going, not particularly. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the Word of God working in our hearts. And you know what? If we ahead of time say, God, I really need revival. God, there is some areas I've been holding on to. You know, it's amazing. You know, you heard about certain parts of your heart that you'll give to God and certain parts of your heart you won't. Why not decide, I'm going to get rid of that sinfulness. I'm going to repent. And what are we doing? We're priming the pump for true revival to hit our heart, to hit our lives. You know, I fully hope that when the end of the week comes and revival ends, the meetings end, that we've had true revival in our hearts, and I'm different. I'm different. I don't think I can lose my Southern West Virginia accent. I'm not talking about losing my accent different. I'm talking about being more like Jesus. I think Jesus has a Southern West Virginia accent. That was a joke. 2 Chronicles. Go ahead and turn to 2 Chronicles. I'll be finished in another hour or so. It's all right. We're all good. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. I considered preaching this for in preparation when God said revival is your topic tonight, or priming the pump. I considered this, and this is used quite a bit. Are you ready? Now, this is not written to New Testament Christians. It is written to the nation of Israel, okay? But I think the principle is very clear and can apply to us today. It says, if my people, and today that'd be Christians, right? Which are called by my name, 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves. That's a good thing, right? We don't need any big shots in the cause of Christ. We need a bunch of little shots. Humble ourselves and pray. We talked about that too, didn't we? And seek my face, seek after God. That's a good thing, and not seek all the things of this world. And here it is. And turn from their what ways? Wicked ways. The Bible talks about our heart being deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it in Jeremiah? See, we got wickedness in our heart a lot of times, right? Because we're sinners. We have the sin nature. But what? And turn from their wicked ways. That's repentance. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and what? And will heal their land. I think it's speaking of revival, isn't it? And we say we want revival in America. Well, if we want revival in America, we need to get revival in our heart first. And believe me, we can't blame the liberals for not having revival in our country. Revival's not going to come. We can't even blame our politicians for not having revival in our country. Do you know where it rests? It rests with us Christians. Because as I've said probably 100 times in this church, I do not believe revival is going to come out of Charleston. I don't believe revival is going to come out of Washington. Maybe through the D.C. Gospel Outreach, maybe through that. But I'm saying I believe it's going to come out of the churches. And what are the churches composed of? Individuals like you and I. So don't look and curse the evilness in the world and say, what we need is revival. Maybe we need to look in the mirror and say, I need revival right here. And God, you know that thing I've been holding on to for 20 years that I never would give up? I'm giving it up. I'm repenting. So an awareness of our own need of revival, our own sinfulness, and our own need for repentance. repentance, they're all huge. So how do you prime the pump? That's where we settled here in this last point. How do we prime the pump? First of all, prayer. Pray for revival. Secondly, let the Word of God, let the Word of God speak to our heart to set the standard. Let the Word of God be that spark that gets revival going. Thirdly, we need to be aware that we're sinful creatures. We have a need of revival, and we need to repent in order to prime the pump. And lastly, we need to realize that God's mercy is what we are calling upon to revive us. God's mercy is what we are calling upon to revive us. Do we deserve revival? I'm not really sure we deserve any good thing from God, do we? Really? But it's God's mercy is what we are calling upon to revive us. So when we go to prayer and we look at God's word and we repent as we need to repent and call upon God and say, God, I need revival, we need to call upon God's mercy to send us revival. If you'll notice, a lot of times when I pray on Sunday morning for revival for our country, I'll say, Lord, we don't deserve it, but in your mercy, would you send us revival? We don't deserve revival as individuals, do we? We don't deserve revival as a church or even as a community, but it's all because of God's mercy. So true revival is a sovereign act of God. We can prevent it or we can prime the pump, but in the end, it's an act of God. So why not call upon his mercy and say, God, we need you. God, we need your help. God, we need a spark. God, we need revival, and I need it in particular. Look at verse 77. Almost finished, believe it or not. He said, Preacher, I would like to go home so I could spend time in prayer. It seems like you're going to run right into the Sunday service. Verse 77. Notice what it says. Let thy tender mercies come upon me that I may live. Now, the word live there is the same word. It's translated quicken in many places. So, let your tender mercies come upon me. Why am I going to have revival, or how can I have revival? It's because of your tender mercies. That's the way I'm going to live. That's the way I'm going to be revived. The last verse, for thy law is my delight. Look at verse 88 of that same chapter. It says, quicken me, make me alive, revive me after thy what? Loving kindness. So shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. You know, we don't ever need to go before God and say, God, I'm your child. Send me revival. I think we need to ask God in his mercy to send us revival. In his tender mercies, in his loving kindness. And one more verse, Psalm 119, verse 159. It says, consider how I love thy precepts, or again, the word of God. Quicken me, make me alive, O Lord, according to thy what? Loving kindness. According to thy loving kindness. You see, God's mercy is what we are calling upon to revive us. You know, we really need to honestly humble ourselves before God in prayer. We need to honestly look at the Word of God and say, God, what am I not living up to? What am I not doing? What am I not following in your book? And based upon that, even before revival, if not at least during revival, as the Word of God is preached, we'll repent. We'll say, you know what? There's areas of my life I'm going to turn around and I'm going to do what God wants me to do. Priming the pump. And as we're on our knees, as we follow the Word of God, as we have that awareness of our own need and sinfulness and repentance, call upon God's mercy in a humble way. Say, God, we need your mercy. We need your loving kindness. We need your revival. Tonight, we've looked at in particular revival meetings or true revival. I hope that when this is all over, you know, a lot of times, if true revival breaks out, it doesn't end on a certain time and day. Wouldn't that be something? I mean, we got enough preachers involved with this thing, we could all preach a different night and go for another month almost. But wouldn't it be something that we didn't say, well, it's good revival, yeah, it's good preaching, but we say, you know what, God showed up. God worked in my heart. God worked in my life. The main part of what we talked about. How can we, what can we learn about being revived? How can we prime the pump? Prayer, the Word of God, repentance, and God's mercy. Call upon God's mercy. Let me ask you, do you really want personal revival? Do you really want personal revival? You know, national revival is great. Regional revival is wonderful. Church revival is spendiferous. But I really believe it starts with personal revival. It starts based upon us. Do you really want revival meetings or true revival? Now, don't get me wrong. If true revival comes, we might get a little bit uncomfortable. I'm not talking about because people are raising their hands or shouting. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about if true revival hits, he might show us what we really are like. And he may show us some things that would have been a pet peeve of ours for years or a pet, something we held on to for years and years. And it might be a little bit uncomfortable. It's like, oh, God, you really want me to do that? God, you really want me to get rid? Oh, it may be a little bit uncomfortable. But I don't know about you. I want true revival in my heart. I want to prime the pump by praying, looking at God's Word, studying God's Word, saying, God, where am I in conflict with that? How, letting the Word of God work during the week of revival by repenting of things that I need to repent of and turning around and say, God, I know this is not right. I know it's not been right for 100 years. So I'm going to do right. And then calling upon God's mercy for revival. You know, a cheer, like that cool cheer we had there at the beginning, or a pep rally, it's not going to bring revival. It's not going to bring revival. Only God can send revival. But we can prime the pump. We can prime the pump. I'd encourage you. Tonight's going to be a little bit different. Amy, if you could go up and end this thing there pretty quick. I want you to take some time. We're going to get back together here in a moment. But if you're willing, either from your seat or at the altar, if you're serious about this revival thing, and again, if you just want to stay at your seat, I'm not judging whether you're praying for revival or not, or if you want to come to the altar, whichever you want to do. But I want us to pause. No music playing, nothing going on. I know silence makes us very uncomfortable, most of our churches. Total silence. But if you're serious and you want revival to come, you're welcome to come to the altar. You're welcome to stay at your seat, but call upon God's mercy to send us revival. And maybe say, God, if there's anything in there that needs not to be in my life, help me to repent of that and get that right. And anything according to your word, Lord, just work on me. Again, I'll say it one more time. I want to be different when revival's over. I want to be drawn closer to my God when the revival is over. So if that's your heart's desire, we'll just take a few minutes and you can pray from your seat or you can come to the altar, whichever. Let's go to the Lord as a church and as individuals in this church and ask God for revival, okay?